welcome to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Here is your host, Chris Tatro.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. We are back with our podcast with season number two. Last year, we ended this last January of 2023, right before our banquet. We needed to take a little breather before we hop back into the podcast here. You know, doing this podcast is actually a lot more work than you think it is. Getting people lined up, getting the right time, making sure everyone's streaming services work. It's a lot, but we thoroughly enjoy it, and we feel like it's a really good way for us to connect with not only people that support us, but also our members, as well as give some shout outs to the local guides and different sponsors that we have throughout the year. But we are excited to be back with season number two. We got a lot of cool things to talk about, things that we've had done since January and things that are coming up. There's been changes within the organization, which we'll touch on too, but there's just a handful of different things. So today we actually have Sean Olsberg. He is our regional director out of Texas. And we actually have our newly appointed secretary, Todd Spindler, with us tonight too. Alan Larimore was our previous secretary, and he took a break. He had some time away. He's pretty into his competition barbecue and recently had new employment, so he needed a breather, and we totally get that. Family is first and career as well. This is a volunteer gig, but just wanted to let everyone say that we appreciate you tuning into the podcast in previous years. It was kind of cool looking at the statistics of people actually listening to the podcast while we were away, not filming. There's been a lot of individuals who continue to listen to the podcast throughout our absence. So it was kind of cool to see that we had a following that continued to listen to what we had going on in the past year. Look forward to what we have to bring this next year, though. But welcome, guys. Welcome, Sean. Welcome, Todd. How are you guys tonight?
Doing great. Hey, thank you.
I'm great. Good to be here.
Everyone's been busy. I know if you did not know who Todd was the state director in Colorado. How long were you state director there for, Todd?
About a year.
Yeah, and I helped train him in with Sean Buckendale out in Colorado side by side. So that was a quick year. I'll give it. That was a really quick year. But it has been fun. Happy to have you on the board, and we know that you're dedicated to the mission and helping those that we serve. So it's pretty exciting to have you here, Sean.
Thank you.
Been busy down there. What's going on in your world? What's been new since we took a little hiatus?
Wow, we haven't stopped. We had taken a little break on the podcast, but we haven't stopped. That's for sure. HHO is going forward, full steam ahead. We got a lot of expansions that we've done over the last 6 months, including some new state chapters of, Alaska. We got a chapter up in Alaska. Mr. John Reese has stepped up to taking the state director role up there. He's a licensed captain and just Army veteran and just ready to get out there and get some folks out in Alaska to enjoy the outdoors. Then we also started Washington. We expanded to the state of Washington. We got tons of military and first responders in the state of Washington that we can't wait to get out.
You'll be onboarding a couple new states here in the next couple days.
Yeah. We got this week alone, we've got we're gonna work with the new state director Mac out of Colorado that is taking Todd's spot, and then we're also onboarding Arizona this week. So we're really looking forward to the expansions of working that southwest area of the country.
Yeah, more landmass, help more people. It's pretty awesome, and the cool part too is, you know, you brought up John Reese, and then. Listeners were here in a later episode. We actually met John Reese down in Texas from Alaska. He came down and hunted with Sean for his youth hunt that he did for deer hunting this last December of 2022. And that's when we really got to talk to John and get to meet him. So pretty cool.
Yeah, just a super guy. You know, he took the opportunity to fly take his son out on a Texas deer hunt. And we happened to have that going. And so they came down and loved what we were all about, and And here we are. Now we're in Alaska, you know?
Yeah, and he's like
amazing.
Retired from the Army, you know, served 77 years or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's an ongoing joke. I give him a hard time about how many years he put in, but the dude was dedicated and certainly is still dedicated to the country and helping others. And I actually went to Alaska with Eric Mattson too, and then it was awesome to see John, because when we landed into Anchorage for Eric's King Eider hunt, John was there to help us out. He came and met us at the airport, loaded up our luggage, brought us to the hotel, and it just made everything a lot smoother. When you're bringing six people with all that gear to go to St. Paul Island, just having John on board to help us out when we got there. And then also he came to help us when we went back home. So huge shout out to John for the assistance. We really appreciate it. It made everything a lot more smooth.
Yeah, just a top-notch guy. And then let me touch on Craig Murphy. Craig Murphy stepped up for our Washington chapter. Craig's a retired Coast Guard veteran, and this gentleman is pretty amazing. He does a lot over in Washington, and we're blessed to have him for sure.
I think he's been on a couple podcasts out there talking about the different things he does, to include HHO as well. So really appreciate his help and spreading the word in our mission out there too. And then Todd, what kind of things has Colorado been doing in the last few months, or what's coming up here?
So in the last few months, things have been a little quiet for Colorado, but coming up, we have our golf tournament in the end of August. It's August 25th. We would love to have everybody listening to this podcast join us. August 25th in Colorado. Shortly after that, we have, we always do a dove hunt. That turns out pretty well with a lot of success. And then we have some big game hunts happening after that. Unfortunately, all of those have been, or fortunately, they've all been drawn for, and tags are issued today. And we should have some good success with that. And then some of the other things that we have got coming up is some various trips, one for women only, and we're looking at a few other fly fishing and backcountry horseback riding and camping fly fishing trip. Working on some of that stuff, getting the details ironed out. And by the time this podcast happens, we should have had our outdoor laser tag at the Air Force Academy. It should be a very large event with a good participation rate. So looking forward to all that.
That's outside the box kind of trip right there.
It is. And that was when it was approached to us about going to the Air Force Academy and an outdoor laser tag. It was, we're sold. We're in. Can't wait to do it. It's going to be a fun event.
Not traditional, different, unique, you know, turns your head a little bit, do something different. That's pretty cool. I was just thinking too. So as Todd said, you know, tags were drawn today. And then for our listeners, we're pre-recording and we're towards the end of June. So we like to have a lot of our podcasts in the hopper ready to go. So when he says they got drawn today, it was in late June. So go almost in July, but you know, I'm always talking about the day and I forget that the podcast come out in a few weeks or whatever, but it happens to me all the time. But something I thought was kind of cool, I wanted to share with all the listeners too. We had our annual board meeting where we get all our board members together for approximately 3 days. And we go over what happened in the previous year and what we're looking to do in the upcoming year here. And we set a lot of goals, and it's a very important meeting that we do. We actually held it in St. Paul, Minnesota this year. We got an Airbnb downtown, pretty awesome area. You know, you'd think that we try to go out in the middle of nowhere, but logistics wise, it just makes it easier for us to be close to the airport and get people here. But kind of cool points that we had was in 2022, we have a trip tracker. The number of trips in 2022 was 229. So 1,364 people were taken out into the outdoors by HHO. So 1,364, which is pretty awesome considering that we've exceeded our goal by 164 people. What do you guys think about that?
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, 229 trips, and really we probably have about 18 active states right now that aren't in the building mode. So, you know, between those states to schedule out 229 trips, That's requiring at least one of our volunteer field staff per trip to go out there and organize and execute this trip. So, I mean, our hats off to all of our volunteer staff.
Couldn't do without them, you know, and everyone's seeing what it does for others and sharing what they enjoy in the outdoors, which is incredibly important. And without our volunteers, there's no way that this would happen. So,
yeah,
you know, Minnesota's our home state. And this is where we started, you know, Minnesota itself took out over 700 people, which is pretty incredible. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that is a lot.
And then, so we set our goals for 2023. A little unique of what happened for this next year, though, is we actually changed our fiscal year around. So our fiscal year ends at the end of March. So April begins our new fiscal year. And going into 2023, we set that we would take out 1,500 members for the new fiscal year. So we really want to hope that we blow those numbers out of the water. You know, I will say that, and I'm sure you guys can attest this too, but like just the state of the economy and things that are happening with inflation, politically, financially, it just seems like things are a little slower now. Like just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a post-COVID situation too, but it just seems like the amount of outdoor activities and just volunteers. I know it's something that we've talked about with other organizations that volunteer hours are down. We just don't know what's going on. We're just wondering if it's the economy or anything related. Have you guys seen any of that?
I have a little. You know, I attend a lot of trade shows in the off seasons, and you know, a lot of the hunting and outdoor expos, the numbers were down last year, but coming now this season, they're starting to pick up. I just went to a show in Fort Worth this last weekend, and it was packed. I mean, people it was crazy. There was so many people there. So that was good to see. And I'm hoping that results in more of our organizations like us being able to get back on their mission and get their members out.
Todd, you seen anything?
Yeah, we're seeing similar for us with changes in a lot of people's careers have been happening, at least here in Colorado. Quite a few of us have changed jobs and new roles, and that's kind of hindered some of us on what we've done. And I think that's happening across from what I see from my perspective and looking at things, is there's just so much change and turnover with people's lives that it's we just need to get a little bit more settled back in and comfortable and moving forward again. And I think that will really help us out. Everybody's moving in a great direction. It's just a little bit slower and more cautious this year.
Yeah. One of the things I'm starting to notice too is, is that I'm starting to notice that a lot of companies are pulling their employees back in from working at home. You know, the commute is back there. And I don't know if that has something to do too, and a little bit of brain fog with, you know, working from home for so long and then having to go back to work 4 days a week or 5 days a week. And I think part of that has something to do with it. You know, people are trying to get readjusted to their old life or their whatever their new life might be. And just kind of trying to figure out where their free time actually is.
Yeah. Now, if they were working at home and being with their family all week, they didn't mind taking off for the weekend. And so maybe now they're just liking to stay back home and spend time with the family a little more on the weekends.
Well, nothing wrong with that, though. You know, like we said, family first, right?
Absolutely. Always and always.
So one of the cool things that we'll end up talking about on another podcast here coming up down the road is about our Minnesota National Banquet that we hosted. It was last March, and our last couple episodes that we had posted were with some of the people that we had at the banquet. That included Melissa Bachman, Liz Collin, and then one of our good friends, Aaron Slater with Relentless Defender, came up with his wife, and they're the owners of Relentless Defender, and they do all of our merch. And we will have a podcast that will kind of go over how the night went, but we can talk about a bit here and we'll dive into it deeper elsewhere. But the night was highly successful. It was at Holman Field Aviation Brigade down in St. Paul at Holman Field. It was our second year there. And this year was absolutely amazing. Just like previous year. And just the camaraderie that was built throughout the people that we've assisted throughout the night was phenomenal to see everyone just kind of mix and talk about the different experiences that they had. But then also seeing all the localized communities come together and be able to support our organization was pretty awesome too. Mr. Olsberg came up from Texas with some of his Texas crew. They had a VIP event that they hosted up at Best Defense Army and Range. Melissa Bachman came up there and helped out. Want to talk about that? Silencer Central put that on with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, big shout out to Silencer Central for coming on board and supporting this event. They were able to bring up two of their full-time guys to help us host 50 VIPs on a Saturday morning. So we spent a few hours on the range at Best Defense up there in where was that? Forest Lake?
Forest Lake.
Forest Lake. And what a great place. That range, that was my first time there. It's a wonderful facility. It's perfect. It's set up perfectly for an event like that. So we had 50 people up there that were all able to talk guns, talking suppressors, and talking Hometown Hero Outdoors. And we pushed them through. Silencer Central brought up a bunch of toys to include some fully automatics. That was a pretty big hit. And we just got to shoot and shoot and shoot.
And I was jealous.
Yeah. Thanks to Federal Ammunition, you know, they came up and, I mean, we had more ammo than we could put down range, which is a good problem to have.
Totally. Yeah. Huge shout out to both of them. Silencer Central, which actually is the one that helped with the connection with Federal. And Federal, for those who don't know, they are Minnesota based out of Anoka, Minnesota. So that was pretty cool that, you know, they weren't very far from their home base coming over to help support us and Silencer Central. So yeah, I appreciate Sean, and I got to give a shout out to Brian Chaffee too, and his wife, Jen. They came over and helped out as well. Well, at least the organization of things and bringing some food and refreshments for the day. But it was a great night. You know, we had, like I said, our speakers were there. We had Liz Collin with emceeing the evening. Melissa gave a great presentation that talked about the outdoors and showed some awesome videos with her family and being outdoors together and what it can do for you. I didn't get to watch it. Did you get to watch it at all?
No.
Running around with their head cut off.
Yeah. It was a great show, though. And, you know, what that banquet proved to me is that, you know, our economy may be down, what have you, but our supporters were still there. And our supporters, sponsors, donors, partners, they came out in full force and made that banquet a huge success.
Yeah, and again, you know, like our volunteers can't do without them, but we also can't do without our supporters and our donors. You know, we did our annual online silent auction that ends that night of, and then we also did a fund a need with some fundraising. We did a presentation for our person of the year, Brent Fowler. If you remember from previous podcasts or videos, we had Brent Fowler on our podcast for our main moose hunt that was last September of 2022. He was our person of the year. We presented an award to him for everything that he's done and he's been through. And we got to watch Alan go up on stage and present the award to him. And Alan's actually his little brother, which was pretty awesome to get to see. Brent's been through a lot. So it was a good night. And then after that, we ended up into the live auction. And that was pretty crazy, too. You know, we had a trip to Bali. I think we sold 5 of those. A trip to Belize. We also sold 5 of those. Some pretty awesome firearms with cans on them from Silencer Central that was there. Some pretty awesome bourbon that some came from Texas, some came from Minnesota, but a good mix of everything. It was a good night. And again, without our people who support us and attend that and our sponsors, there's no way that we'd be able to move forward with the financial side of things to help our people. So we really appreciate all that. And the exciting part is I'm pretty sure that night we have a volunteer that is now an assistant state director down in Texas. His name is Preston Wall. Preston is a very active individual and loves to fundraise. And we were at the banquet and the banquet wasn't quite done. And he pulls me aside and goes, "Hey, we're going to do a banquet in September." And I was like, "Can I just get through tonight, man? just give me a minute here." And then, you know, the night went through and then, you know, Preston was ready to go and, it's been great. He's been working really close with you know, Kim Noonan, who is our director of special events, and they've been working on this Texas banquet together, and it's coming up September 30th of this year. It'll be in San Antonio area. You want to talk about that at all, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. So September 30th down in Jalotes, Texas, right outside of San Antonio, at the Pedrati's Ranch. I guess by the time this posts, tickets will probably be sold out. But it's going to be an amazing event. We've got some really, really great sponsors lined up, and raffles, and it's just going to be a really good night to expand the HHO mission to South Texas and really bring on or broaden our network quite a bit. It's going to be a great night.
Yeah. And a big shout out to Lone Star Pools. They're the event sponsor that night, the titling sponsor. So thank you for your commitment to the organization assisting. You know, if you haven't checked out Lone Star Pools yet, you should check them out. They do a lot of fiberglass pools. I was looking at their website and I'm kind of jealous of the pools they got.
So I don't know if you've heard, but matter of fact, they're going to donate a fiberglass pool. I'm not sure how we're going to work that, but Kirk's going to have his work cut out for him on the auction block.
Yeah, right. So what is shipping and handling on that?
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Awesome. Hey, Todd, let's talk about that golf tournament here a little bit. You've been to the last two, I think, haven't you?
I did the last one, and then this will be my second one coming up here in Colorado. And so this year we've moved location to Arrowhead, which is a premier golf course here in Colorado that is highly sought out to get to. It's a beautiful course, lots of red rocks and rolling. It's just, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time. We've got some good help coming, a good sponsorship coming with it, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody out there. Tickets are on sale, and maybe by the time this podcast airs, we might be sold out, but we hope. If not, check us out.
Yep. At least, and even if you aren't able to golf too, you can always check out their sponsorships too. They have quite a variety of different ways to sponsor them and support the actual fundraiser out there. This will help fund with their upcoming trips and different things they do out there. I don't know if you know this, but Dale Mord with Rogue Productions, he's a huge golfer. He was going to be a pro, and then he realized that he sucked at golf.
That's right.
Shots fired. You're welcome, Dale. I actually told him that it was at Arrowhead. He's like, oh, that's a phenomenal course. You know, and he actually travels out to Colorado and he golfs at the Sanctuary. Is it the Sanctuary?
Yep. Could be.
Yeah. Not too far from there, really. But I told him about your Arrowhead one, and he's like, yeah, that's a phenomenal course. So that's pretty cool that, you know, someone from Minnesota here who likes to travel and golf quite a bit knows that golf course, and it's several states away. So that's kind of cool.
So can we expect to see him out here and have a good chat with him?
I hope so. That's in August, and it'd be kind of cool for us to get him out there to do some filming of that too for your guys' next year. So it's not off the table.
Yeah, but he wouldn't end up working. Perfect. He'd be golfing. So
yeah, Dale never really actually works. He just pretends. Sorry, Dale.
Yeah. So with that event, let's touch on a few. We've been on the national stage. We've spent some time doing some national events over the last 5 months, I guess, to include the annual NRA convention that was held in Indianapolis, Indiana. That was a great event. We got to get out in front of a whole nother group of folks there in Indiana that travels around different each year. Next year's in Dallas, and we plan on attending that as well. We went to Washington, D.C. for Police Week this year. That was just a tremendous event to connect with the law enforcement side of the house. And we made a lot of friends and a lot of connections through there, sharing the mission of Hometown Hero Outdoors on the East Coast and from officers all over the country.
Yeah, and we actually have a full entire dedicated podcast just to Police Week. We just recorded it not long ago. And for those who don't know, Police Week is every May 15th is the Law Enforcement Memorial Day. And they hold events out in Washington, D.C. for law enforcement, those who have sacrificed so much or given everything to us. And we had a team of us that went out there. Sean flew up. Dan Meyer flew out from the West Coast. I drove there with Andy, with our trailer, with our merch. And then my wife also came to help us too, which was pretty awesome. And we spent our time at Tent City for 2 days. And it's a very large vendor area where it's law enforcement supporting businesses. And it's pretty awesome. And it was severely downsized this year, but it was still awesome. And it was shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. And it wasn't just selling merchandise. You know, we did a lot of that, but being able right. to connect with every one of those folks that purchased an item was pretty cool.
Our goal was to reach as many police officers as possible and share what we do for mental health in the outdoors. And a lot of different police officers talked about their agency and how they want to utilize what we do and work with us for that type of thing. And a lot of times when we were done talking to them, they enjoyed our mission and what we were doing so much that they'd walk into the booth and buy some swag to help support us and help drive our mission. So definitely was not the main goal to go there and sell a bunch of stuff. You know, that helps. But we had a bunch of individuals that wanted to hear what we did. And it was awesome. I mean, we met people and listen to the podcast, but we met people in the Secret Service there, people from LA, Detroit, Chicago, Aruba, Germany, Sweden. Where else, Sean?
Canada.
Canada.
Mean, all the agencies were there. FBI.
Yeah. The alphabet soup. Yeah. Alphabet all of them. Soup.
Yeah. So it was really great. Really great.
Yeah. And you got to listen to the podcast, though. It goes more in depth about, you know, what the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund does. Our friend Slater sits on that board as well. Going to the candlelight vigil on the National Mall, looking at the Capitol with the Washington Monument behind us, and getting to tour DC too, and just what our thoughts were with that. It'll be a good podcast for you to listen to. And if you haven't gone to Police Week, you should really get out there and try it. Even if you haven't been to DC, go out there and take a look. They have the National Law Enforcement Memorial Wall, you know, where they have the names of individuals who were taken from us too soon, have their names on it across the street from the National Law Enforcement Memorial Museum. And there's a lot of rich history in there to learn about law enforcement and where it's been and where it's gone. So listen to that podcast. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then another event that we attended was the Relentless Defender Gala, or Relentless Defender Foundation Gala down in Galveston, Texas this year. A few of us HHO staff members were able to go down there and meet a lot of the law enforcement community and the law enforcement community supporters in the Texas area. There was a national presence there as well. And that was a really nice time to be down there and spread the word of HHO as well. And then
they support us. We try to support them back as much as we can.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think I read, you know, the Relentless Defender Foundation has given away $2.1 million back to supporting law enforcement and the fallen, you know, so just an outstanding foundation. Another great organization is Safari Club International. Safari Club International, West Texas chapter in out in Midland, Texas. They host a event every year. It's their annual fundraiser, and they invited HHO to be to come and have set up a booth. And so we were there with our merchandise, and we were able to talk to a lot of their supporters and really meet a lot of great contacts through them. They've been a great supporter annually, monetary, and as well as just supporting and lining up ranches and trips for our members.
And then also you guys acquired some assistance for the CVMA down there too.
We'll return to the podcast in just a moment. But first, Hometown Hero Outdoors would like to thank the following companies that support HHO and our mission. Relentless Defender Apparel and Gear, Silencer Central Suppressors, Best Defense Armory and Range in Forest Lake, Minnesota, and Tito's Handmade Vodka. We thank them for their support. Now, back to our podcast.
Yes, absolutely. The CVMA, Combat Veterans Motorcycle
Association.
Yes. I had to get all those words in the right order.
I know, so many acronyms that we use.
I got this glass of bourbon, so it's making it a little All right.
Easier.
Yes. Easier. So let's touch on them a little bit. So the San Antonio area has just exploded when it comes to Hometown Hero Outdoor support. They, and that chapter has, they interviewed us. So we kind of had to audition for the spot, and I guess we did a good job because they selected Hometown Hero Outdoors as their one beneficiary for the year of 2023. So all the money that they're raising, or a good portion of it, they're going to donate it to Hometown Hero Outdoors to further our mission.
And the CVMA is national.
Absolutely. They have people
everywhere. Actually, one of the individuals that we did a video on is out of the CVMA, and he was on your Texas hunt.
Yeah, John. Man, John down in Houston. You know what? He just got in a motorcycle accident, but thank God he's okay. His wife's okay. She had a minor surgery, and he's all scraped up, and I think his ego's hurt a little bit. But
yeah, sometimes the pride takes the biggest hit out of everything.
Yeah, but yeah.
John Lyle, yes.
John Lyle, good man, business owner down there, veteran, and yeah, he's also part of that organization.
Yeah. So John, we did a video with him on the youth hunt. We followed him and his son Griffin while we were down in De Leon area. And it's a little over 20 minute video, but it's actually really awesome to sit and watch. And if you haven't watched it yet, take the time. You get to hear about John and his history with being in the military and also being in law enforcement and losing one of his closest friends to law enforcement while on duty. And he talks about those struggles and things that he's been through and what the outdoors does for him. And then also on top of that, being able to spend that time with his son, Griffin, you can really see the bond and the connection that these two have. And, you know, as a father myself, just watching these two interact together, just it's an amazing sight to be seen watching them. And then being able to harvest some deer, you know, and not going to completely spoil the whole thing, but you know, part of the hunt is not just spending time with the kids in the outdoors, but you know, teaching them to hunt. Sometimes kids aren't quite ready yet, and that's okay. I think that just being out there together is the important part, and then hearing your kids say that they're not ready is a huge part too. And when you watch the video, you'll see that where and how John reacts to that, and I think he handled it incredibly well. And you know, I should take a page out of his book when it comes to my first times taking kids hunting. Why aren't you shooting that deer? You know, but that's not how I really am. But yeah. It's a good video.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, go back and watch it for sure. Our YouTube channel is loaded with great content. Go over there and take a look.
Todd, you got any other big hunts that you're going to try and do out there this year? You got any of those pronghorns you're going to go after?
For personal, yes, I'm doing a pronghorn hunt and a big mule deer. For the state, for HHO, we're doing an elk hunt and two deer hunts. Two elk hunts and one deer hunt. Mm. And we're working on another that's, we haven't fully developed it yet. It's an archery hunt. Some more details to follow if we can kind of get some of the commitments finalized. And should be a good time.
You know, this podcast will come out after the rodeo is done, but you should talk about the rodeo real quick. You know, even if it's passed and people missed it, they can look at it for next year and we'll be there too, I hope.
We hope so. We're going to be at the Pikes Peak or Bust Rodeo. It's a large event here in the Pikes Peak region, brings in a lot of support for our military and the military organization as a whole. And it's a rodeo that happens every night starting on Tuesday night and goes through till Saturday. The Pro Rodeo Association is there. It's a pretty neat event that we'll be able to go and to be out there and showcase what HHO is and to meet the people and see everybody that's out there. But more importantly, we just want to get out there and show the community who we are and that we're here to support our team.
I wish I could go to that. My schedule got too full. My intent was to come out, but, you know, a lot going on, you know, and trying to spread out that vacation time.
Understand.
It'll be a good time. Well, a couple of the really cool things we got going on is we have another Maine moose hunt that's coming up. That's with Veterans of Field Foundation with Dave Hentosh up in Bridgewater, Maine. I went on that one last year with Brent Fowler. I was there to help him out and help with Rogue. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to harvest a moose. But this year, hopefully the new recipient has some luck. Kind of a cool thing, too, that we began to implement this last year was our field staff of the year. We started nominating field staff and their accomplishments per quarter, and we would pick one individual to be recognized as the quarter's field staff. And we implemented a program on top of that, which helps us pick the field staff of the year, which we, at the annual board meeting, voted on who the next person would be. It was our first recipient of the field staff of the year, and it was actually Mitch Bolin out of Minnesota here, who's done a lot for the team, and he's been with us since the beginning. He's actually built some spearhouse fish houses for us that go out on the ice and drop down on the ice and do some spearing. He most recently built some brand new homemade cabinets for me for the Minnesota team too, where that helps hold our merchandise. And they're a very handy individual, and he's doing golf trips and he's constantly doing stuff. But the cool part is he's going to actually go out on the Maine moose hunt to help out whoever the recipient is this year. So a big thank you to him for everything he's done for us. We're going to, you know, pay his way to get out to Maine. He'll fly out there and then he'll drive a car up to Bridgewater. He'll get to meet our HHO member who gets to do the hunt, and he's going to help him out with it. He's going to be able to spend some time on the Maine Canadian border and hopefully help out with pulling a moose out of the field for him. So big shout out to Mitch for everything he's done. He actually threw the first pitch at our Saints baseball game here in Minnesota too for our AAA game not long ago. So Sean's got some comments on Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch is just an outstanding guy. I mean, he's very selfless and he does a lot for the organization. He's always been there, and I hope he's here for a long, long time.
Me too. Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of good people in the organization. I mean, these decisions are never easy, you know, and just trying to figure out, you know, who would be best it's not an easy task. Yeah. So thank goodness for votes.
So we have to keep on talking about some trips. You know, we've had some really our field staff had done some pretty amazing trips over the last year. I want to touch on Oklahoma. Lee Tuberville, he just stood up the state less than a year ago, and he's been just hustling to get the word out in Oklahoma. Lee followed me from South Carolina. He was a field staff in South Carolina and took a job opportunity in Oklahoma. And so when he got here, I might have pushed him a little bit.
You waterboarded him until he said okay?
Well, I didn't necessarily, but Todd, on the other hand, Todd had a lot to do with it.
Okay, Todd waterboarded him then.
Maybe I might be a little guilty in that.
Well, yeah. We appreciate you being guilty in that.
Yeah. So he brought, you know, so Lee came on board and he's been doing nothing but good things. He's done some duck hunts, some goose hunts, and he did the first ever HHO spoonbill fishing trip. And I think he's knocked out a couple of those since
two or three. Yeah.
And it's just a really good opportunity, a very unique opportunity. A species of fish that not a whole lot of people have a chance to go after.
And bro, he was a fundraising stud for our national raffle for a bit there.
Yeah, he wants to get members outdoors, and he's going to do anything he can to do it. So
I'm just going to put him and Preston in a competition alone next year, and they'll be able to do the whole raffle for us. Oh man. I think it'd work out pretty good. Yeah, no, it was awesome. Lee actually came up to the banquet too, which I was incredibly happy for. I've talked to him, you know, in passing, informally online, however, and Sean brought him up. And, you know, as our banquet goes, it's always stressful leading up to the day of. And Sean showed up the house with Lee, and I'm sure they saw me in the look of my face, but these two stepped up huge and helped carry me through the rest of the day. And make sure that everything was just kept telling me everything's gonna be okay. But I really appreciate it. That's the first time I got to meet Lee, so that was really awesome. Just to his cool candor and just being relaxed, and that was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Colorado, our Colorado team just did a survival camp, which was pretty awesome. I'm really looking forward to seeing seeing some more or hearing some more about that. That was a really unique trip. Texas was able to get two deserving veterans, both Purple Hearts. I believe one was a Purple Heart, and another one was just an awesome dude. Anyway, they both went on Axis Hunt. I don't want to even spill the beans here.
All right,
but we have some future stuff coming up, and we'll go more in depth with those hunts. But those were pretty special to hunt Trophy Axis down in Texas.
Very unique critter.
Yeah,
pretty awesome animal though. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, just everyone's thinking outside the box and doing different things. You know, I'm hoping to plan some hot air balloon trips coming up here.
Man,
on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border. Go over the St. Croix River up by Hudson. You know, Sean, kind of where your old stomping grounds are. And I'd like to take out some people doing hot air balloon up there. I think that'd be kind of cool. I know there's some other kayaking trips that are being planned. South Dakota just put out an elk hunt that's going to be in central northern South Dakota, which is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That landowner for that ranch, he owns, I think it's 6,000 acres over in South Dakota. And he's got an elk herd over there, and he wants to give away a trophy elk hunt to a deserving veteran with a disability or an impairment. And he just wants to give back. He's a Vietnam era person himself, and he had a lot of friends that he lost over in Vietnam. This is going to be a 100% gentleman's hunt. It's going to be an amazing time for one individual.
Rogue will be there on that one too, so that'll be a good video for people to watch. Once everything's done, it'll be good.
Yeah, and we have stuff coming up all over the country. One that catches the cop. Caught me was in North Dakota, our state director up in North Dakota, Dan, he is going to host a number of folks over in the Boundary Waters, and they're going to do a 5 or 6 day canoe trip over there. It's going to be a parent and child each. So that's going to be a very special time spent on the water.
Yeah, the Boundary Waters, if you don't know what it is, the Boundary Waters canoe wilderness area on the Minnesota northern end next to Canada. It's a very large area, and there's a little bit of a boundary, and there's some restrictions in some lakes, and then some of them there's a lot of restrictions, and it's pretty basic. Some of them have more of a some of the lakes have restrictions on how many horsepower motors you can have with for your boats, and then as you get further in and you portage, carry your gear and your boat to the next lake. Yes, you carry your gear and your boat to the next lake. And what you carry in is what you carry out, except for the food that you consume. And it's supposed to be as natural as possible to what you found it in. And as you get further in and more remote, sometimes you barely even stop seeing people, you know, and it's what it says. It's a wilderness area. And, you know, it's you and the animals, the critters and fishing, and it's just absolutely gorgeous and pristine waters. And I used to get to go, I did a work trip up there once a year with some of my coworkers, and I was up there with Boy Scouts and then some personal trips. And it's just a place that will always hold a special place in my heart. So it's pretty awesome that Dan's going to have some other families and their kids experience it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the most gorgeous places on the earth. That's for sure.
And the fishing is just phenomenal. And it's just the water so clean. I mean, honestly, every now and then you'll see an airplane fly by in super high altitude. Maybe you'll hear it, but other than that, like, if you got tinnitus, that's going to be the loudest thing going on right there. I mean, it's just so quiet, but it's a beautiful place to be. But yeah, that'll be awesome. Good for them.
Another big trip that's planned down in Texas, they have teamed up with the Harris Ranch down in Uvalde. Harris Ranch is a 30,000 acre low fence ranch. It is huge and beautiful land. There's no cattle. It's all wildlife management. And so we have the opportunity to take about 40 HHO members down there to help with the deer management program and to harvest does and coal bucks. And so all of our members are going to be able to bring meat home and fill their freezers just plumb full.
I just learned what a cull buck or a cull deer was when I was in Texas last time. Oh, I shot a cull deer. I was like, what in the hell is a cull deer?
Yeah.
So what is it, Sean? What is a cull deer?
So a management deer, a cull, a management deer is something maybe it doesn't have the genetics that it's going to grow into a trophy. And so they watch these deers grow. They watch the deer grow. And especially on those big ranches, they pretty much document every deer with horns that's there, and they watch them as they grow, and they can tell if what genetics that deer is carrying and if they're going to grow into a trophy class deer or not. So if they're not, they will harvest those deer early before maybe when they're 2 or 3, 4 years old versus letting those deer roam and feed until they're 10 years old, where that may reach a trophy class deer.
The genetics.
Yeah.
That's a pretty awesome opportunity down there for everyone. I know you guys also have a fundraiser that's going on for that.
We do. Yeah. So there's a fundraiser going on right now. They want to sell. We're selling 1,000 tickets at $100 a piece. And we're going to pick, there's going to be 3 winners. First prize is going to get 160 to 179 inch whitetail.
Oof.
Yeah. Second prize is up to 150 inch whitetail. And third is up to 140 inch whitetail.
Still.
And these deer, most of the time in Texas, whitetails, the ones that ran right around my farm, they're small. They don't have a whole lot of fat on them. You know, you get 5 tags for a reason, you know, because you got to fill your freezer.
Right.
And it's not like those northern deer, but down there, those deer are fed and managed so well. They feed cottonseed, which is high in fat, high in protein. It's all nutrients. And plus they have natural grazing. And so those deer down there, when you go to process them, they look like you just harvested a Wisconsin deer. Pretty wild.
Pretty incredible. Yeah, it's an awesome opportunity. We thank the Harris Ranch for their support. If you want to help support getting our veterans out, please reach out to us. You can email our information email at info@hometownherooutdoors.org, texas@hometownherooutdoors.org. Reach out to any of our social media pages. But like we said, 3 people out of 1,000 entries, you know, you might have several entries. You might win a couple, you know, but you might be able to harvest a pretty awesome deer. You know, I mean, I'm pretty jealous, and I'm going to buy a couple myself, and I'm going to sell a few too.
This is a ranch that people are on a waiting list to get on. They only allow 8 trophy deer harvested there a year.
Wild. And then we get to do 3 at least really beautiful deer for whoever wins.
Yeah. And
pretty awesome.
And in return, we get to take 40 plus members to go out to this beautiful place, and their lodging is amazing. The food is sitting about, everything's cooked over the campfire. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing place.
Yes. And this raffle is out of actually the state of Missouri. Just the raffle has helped us out, but it's for the Texas hunt. And we are running this raffle through, was it October 1st, Sean?
No, we're going to go through September 30th. So the
30th.
You can still buy banquet or tickets at the Texas banquet, but that next day is going to be the draw.
Perfect. Yeah. So reach out to us social media wise, call one of your HHO field staff. You know, we'll get you hooked up with tickets here, $100, and you might get a really awesome deer in Southern Texas. With that too, also, I want to talk about the legacy trip a little bit here. We're starting to transition our time to finding the next person, but we will also have a podcast for the actual Mattson hunt. We just did a podcast pre-recorded with the Mattsons in Rogue Productions about how the trip went to Alaska for Eric. And for all of you that have been following it, you guys all obviously know that Eric got his King Eider. So it took some time and it was a lot of work, but Eric persevered and he got it done. It was a lot of travel, being tired quite a bit, cold and wet, but you know, we're Minnesotans, so it wasn't so bad. But we do have a podcast that specifically talks about that. The cool part that you'll get to hear about too is that the little nuances about the trip, little things, the ups and downs. And then also, Eric got his bird back from his taxidermist at our banquet. So that was a pretty awesome turnaround from January. At the end of March, he got it back. Everyone got to see it. And then we also show the trailer for the Mattson documentary, which will be coming out later this year. So another good podcast to go listen to. And get the insight story about how everything happened, how it went down, how Eric felt, just everything. And then on top of that, you have to watch the documentary. We're looking for the next Legacy Trip recipient. We had it boiled down to 5 people. And actually, as of today, June 27th, I had emailed them to the Mattsons to pick the next person. So we will have a new Legacy Trip recipient picked here shortly and likely before this podcast comes out. So we're pretty excited about the next Legacy Trip recipients. It was really hard to whittle it down. I know Sean got to go through them all. Todd wasn't on the board yet, but reading through them all, Sean, was not easy to try to figure out your top 5.
No, that's for sure. I mean, every single submission was a deserving person. It's hard to pick those. Top 5. I'm just thankful that I don't have to pick the one.
Yeah, that's a tall order. And yeah, I'm thankful for Eric and Megan and everything they've been through, but also to be involved in the Legacy Trip and picking the next person. I'm excited for them to get to meet them and help be stewards of the Legacy Trip and help continue that with everyone else. But with that, do you guys have any final or closing thoughts as we wrap up episode number 1 of season 2?
I'd like to just touch on, hey, we can't do this without volunteers, and our volunteer staff, they are amazing people that really put forth a lot of effort and sacrifice a lot of time away from their family, their people, to help others. And that's amazing. And right now, we have a lot of opportunities out there as we expand this organization across the country. We have opportunities in Florida, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Montana, South Dakota, South Carolina, just to name a few. We're always looking for staff. So if being in the outdoors is something that you'd like to do, and if you'd like to help others out and you're listening to this, please reach out to me or anybody else on the HHO staff. Hit our website at info@hometownherooutdoors.org. And we'd love to talk with you and see if you got a place here with our team.
Totally. Hit the head of the nail there. How about you, Todd? Got any last final comments?
Not sure that I could top that, but I would say that I do support everything that Sean just said. And for me, I didn't realize what I was missing in my life until I came to HHO and had the opportunity to share these adventures and these experiences with our members and our staff. And so for me, while there's a lot of work involved in it, there's so much more reward involved as well. And some of it does include some potential waterboarding with future staff members. So, you know, if you're interested, you know, contact me. I can help you out with maybe that discussion if you need that. But other than that, you know, I just look forward to this next year, and it's going to be a fun year.
Totally. Yeah, and just echo both of these guys. Thank you to our volunteers, our sponsors, anyone who supports us. You know, if you know someone who might be interested in what we do, please head over to our website or our social media. You can find us on Facebook. We have closed groups there that are for our members that we serve. Also, we do a lot of trips on our website. And then also, please listen to and subscribe to our YouTube and our podcast as well. We'll put out a lot of good information on here. I just got to give a big shout out to Phil Ewert with PE Productions. Phil does a lot of our voiceover work, and he's going to be assisting me pretty heavily with our podcast coming up. He is our voiceover guy that you'll be hearing on the podcast too. So I've known Phil since 2008 when I worked at the Federal Reserve Police, and we've had a very good friendship since then. So it's kind of a pretty awesome thing to be this far down the road and have him be a part of the organization. So thank you, Phil, for everything that you do and helping out with us. But with that, we're going to conclude today's episode, our season 2, episode number 1. And everyone, just please share these episodes, spread the word, get people to us. We want to help them get outdoors, get off the couch, clear their mind, help out with mental health. That's our goal. So with that, I am going to conclude today's adventure and our podcast here. So thank you, Sean. Thank you, Todd. I really appreciate you for being here. And we will see everyone on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. For more information, visit our website at hometownherooutdoors.org.